You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Are the suburbs turning Democratic? A recent piece in the New York Times explores the changing political landscape of the suburbs and why the suburbs are at the center of the nation's political map as we head into 2020. To illustrate this shift, the Times came to West Michigan. Sabrina Tavernisi is a national correspondent covering demographics for the New York Times, and she is here with us now via Skype. Good to have you on Stateside, Sabrina.
Thanks a lot, Cindy.
So why did you come to East Grand Rapids and Kentwood to kind of dig into the changing political trends in the suburbs?
Well, you know, we looked at suburbs all over the country because we did a big data scrub, and we found what was essentially a really similar pattern. And we found that West Michigan exhibited this pattern really, really well. And that was that the political dividing line in the United States is no longer now between cities and suburbs. It's right through the heart of the suburbs themselves, right down the middle between the inner and the outer. And we wanted to go to West Michigan to show that, in part because, you know, we're the New York Times and we actually don't spend a lot of time in West Michigan. It was nice to be in a new place. And it's just a fascinating place, you know, economically doing really well, and extremely typical pattern exhibited by the suburbs in West Michigan, as we found around the nation.
So as you indicated, you're looking at the two distinct types of suburbs. There's the older inner ring suburbs and then the newer suburbs that are expanding outward. So tell us, what's the difference between these two versions of suburbia when it comes to politics?
So when it comes to politics, essentially what you're seeing is two things. One is a really profound demographic change in the inner ring. So, you know, what you used to have was immigrants, foreign-born people, people of color, largely in cities, but that has really changed over the past 20 or 30 years. So really you have a lot of spreading into inner ring suburbs of people of color, foreign-born people. The suburbs are now much less white than they were in 1990. We looked at the suburb of Kentwood. I think it had been 94% white in 1969 when we started looking at the numbers, and currently is about 64% white. So that's a really, really big change. The other thing that we found was that in decades past and in generations past, you had education being a somewhat of a predictor of political choice in a way that's quite the opposite of what we see today. So what I mean to say is, in the past, you had college-educated people would tend to vote Republican. That was the case, you know, from very early to, you know, the kind of the early to the mid-1990s. Over the years from the mid-1990s, you see more educated people, and this is really predominantly, I'm talking about whites, more educated white people, you see them starting to trend toward Democrats. And so what we saw in East Grand Rapids was a real shift in which the suburb had been Republican really for many, many generations. And, you know, you had Gerald Ford growing up there largely. This was really kind of the heartland of moderate Republicanism. But what you'd seen over the past 20 years was an increasingly purple and now actually quite blue national voter turnout. And that is largely because of the changes that we have seen in education. It's a big, profound change. It's happened everywhere in the country, but you see it very clearly in West Michigan.
So you're pointing to back into the 90s. So before the election of Donald Trump, which might be, the easy thing to pounce on. But has that election of Trump as president, how has that influenced these trends with the increasingly blue inner ring suburbs and continuing red outer ring suburbs?
So President Trump is kind of, you know, a phenomenon, I would say. And he is he's sort of been a catalyst, I think, for upper educated Republicans in the inner ring who were kind of uncomfortable with where things were going with him. He's kind of been a catalyst pushing them, if not towards the Democrats, perhaps not to vote at all. I mean, you know, inner ring, highly educated Republicans, I met many of them who were pretty deeply uncomfortable with the president. So, you know, that's certainly kind of an accelerant, if you will, of these trends in the inner ring. You know, you see that kind of surfacing in the data, that the chart was kind of, you know, the educated people were sort of trending toward Democrats. And then when you see the Trump election, you know, it really shot up. But, you know, on the other side, fundamentally, if you look at the big picture in West Michigan, it is still Republican. You know, you have a lot of outer ring suburbs where the president is very popular. These are places that, you know, until pretty recently were rural places. They're exurbs, big new developments, you know, down kind of far south of the city. These are places where the president is still very popular. And if you look at West Michigan and at Grand Rapids and the metro area of Grand Rapids, the outer ring suburbs outweighed the inner ring. So Trump did win in Grand Rapids and its suburbs in a way that, you know, he didn't in Atlanta and its suburbs. He didn't in Riverside, California and its suburbs. So it's really, you see this kind of knife's edge between the inner and the outer ring. And some of the cities are quite close. I mean, the Democrats are very close to breaching Republican firewalls in a number of American cities. I mean, you look at a city like Houston, that's a city of almost 7 million people. Trump won that city by only about 20,000 votes. So very, very close, kind of, you know, a battle to the draw, really, between the inner ring and the outer ring.
And so is there one person that was in your story who you really think exemplifies this shift that we're seeing in the suburbs?
So, yes, I think that the person whose name is Dave Levitt, he was the person who led my story. I started my story with him because I think he really does show the change that has happened. So Dave went to business school, got his MBA in the 1990s, and in 1990, I believe. So he's now in his early 50s. You know, he's from Chicago, but has spent the past 20 years in Grand Rapids, raised his kids there, you know, built his life, his business there. And, you know, he's a Republican. He fundamentally believes in smaller government. He believes in all of the things that the Republican Party stood for a very long time. And he feels just completely bereft and upset and a bit lost politically, because he sees the party, the Republican Party that he sees today, is not the party that he knew, is not the party he signed up for. And he feels very uncomfortable with President Trump and the way that he's been running things. And as he said to me, he just feels completely politically homeless. It's like he stayed in the same place and the party just went way in another direction.
And we've heard that from other Republicans. The party, I didn't leave the party left me.
But the thing that we also need to caution is that doesn't mean that he's suddenly a Democrat.
Yes, you know, that struck me from your story. Someone's like, this is not a bonus for Democrats, is what this person said.
Not necessarily at all. In fact, there are many things about the Democratic Party he feels pretty uncomfortable with. So, you know, you really have this very frustrated, lost political middle that is kind of looking for somebody that it can put its faith in.
A little more, if you will, digging into the diversity and the increasing diversity and how diversity changes political affiliation. And certainly you had a wonderful, wonderful illustration with East Kentwood soccer team to just show exactly how much it's changed. Why'd you pick the soccer team as an example?
So, you know, I didn't know about the soccer team until I talked with Dave Lubbers, a different person in my story, who's my Kentwood family. They moved in 1969 when Kentwood was 94% white. And he says, you know, we raised our kids there. And, you know, we remember our son in the 80s being on the soccer team, East Kentwood. And it was a pretty bad team. I mean, it didn't really do very well. It never placed in state championships, or at least rarely. And Dave said, you know, if you would just look at the team now, it's just kind of amazing. I mean, they're just in state championships all the time. And it's like, you know, it's like the United Nations. I mean, they're immigrants from all different countries and they're really good at soccer. And I said, oh, wow, that sounds interesting. So we talked to the school and they let us go out and photograph a practice. But yeah, it just seemed like a really good sort of visual representation of just how much Kentwood had changed.
Mm-hmm. And then thus the diversity changing political affiliation.
That's right. And again, you know, just so we can caution, not to say that we can, you know, don't necessarily draw a direct line between, oh, immigrant, therefore Democrat. You know, a lot of these people don't really vote. I mean, I've interviewed many immigrants and some of them in Kentwood and Grand Rapids who said, you know, it's just not my thing. I'm not really into politics. I, you know, yes, I have my citizenship, but I'm not interested. So, you know, it's all a very complicated sort of algorithm. You know, it's sometimes it's just that, you know, people of color move in, perhaps don't vote. Whites move out who did vote for Republicans, and there's just less Republicans showing up to vote in that area. So it's all very complicated.
In rural areas of the country, you tend to see older, whiter voters, often more conservative. Is that what you found in outer ring suburbs as well?
You know, the outer ring suburbs were a real mix and very interesting and surprising to me. I mean, I certainly did find older, whiter voters that were more conservative. And I talked to some of those people, and one of them was quoted in my story. But I also talked to younger people, people who were trying to get more bang for their buck housing-wise, because the inner ring suburbs in Grand Rapids had become quite expensive. And I also talked to immigrants. There was a very interesting Hispanic immigrant who actually had started out life as a migrant farm worker, living in migrant kind of tent communities with his parents, in going state to state for many, many years, and had essentially finished school, gone to college, and now was working in the Chamber of Commerce in Grand Rapids. Really, really successful man, but he was, you know, conservative. He had a large family, beautiful family. They lived in it's a suburb kind of quite far to the south of Grand Rapids. And, you know, he said, there's a lot of good, I think, still in the Republican Party. I actually quite like the president. Yes, he might say some crazy things sometimes, but I think Democrats have lost sight of the good things he's doing. And, you know, he very much was someone who voted and could really understand kind of both sides. Also, he, like other people I had talked to, the Republicans in the inner ring, he was bemoaning kind of the loss of being able to have a real conversation with people about politics, that, you know, he felt like he was kind of in the middle, slightly sort of moderate, and just couldn't find any space out there in the public landscape to talk about politics at all.
Yeah, I'm interested if you feel that what you observed when we're kind of seeing this shift, especially in these inner ring suburbs, turning more blue, do you think it's permanent, or is this more of a reaction to the era of Trump? I mean, can you see any of these voters who've moved away from the Republican Party, or who feel that the party has moved away from them? Could you see them going back after Trump's out of office?
I mean, I think Trump is certainly an accelerant. And, you know, he made that election unusual, 2016. So people were all, you know, making choices based in part on him. But I do think that there's a deeper, broader trend here that's been going on for the better part of 30 years, which is, you know, less white, more foreign born, just very different types of folks in these communities. And that is probably going to lead to a more permanent political change. However, I also think that it's impossible to predict how foreign-born people in the end are going to come out of all of this, right? You have some very interesting cross currents with, say, Asian voters. They, in many parts of the United States, can be quite conservative when it comes to issues of education and equity in education. You know, Hispanics generally tend to be fairly conservative as well, with issues of abortion and religion. So you don't necessarily know, or can't necessarily assume, that all of these immigrants and their children are 100% going to vote for Democrats. So I think it's all still very fluid.
Sabrina, for strategists from both parties who are looking at what is happening in Kent County, what are the lessons or the warning signs they should be paying attention to?
I think that, you know, they're watching very closely what turnout is. I think that some of the Democratic political strategists, the newer, younger ones, you know, and because it had been for so long a Republican place, and the Democratic candidates, they had gone around for the past couple of elections thinking, okay, you know, here's a place that's more, where there are more people of color living, there are more immigrants living, and in some cases had been actually pretty disappointed at the turnout that they managed to get. One of the candidates told me that, you know, she had done a lot of outreach with Hispanics. She had even had her in-laws, who were Spanish speaking, come around with her and door knock. I mean, she just went all out to try to get Hispanic voters. Everybody was very encouraging at their doorstep. And then when it came to counting the vote totals, almost nobody showed up. So I think that there are real kind of, you know, blank spots out there in terms of what's actually going to happen and how the strategy needs to address it.
Fascinating piece. Are the Suburbs Turning Democratic? Reported by Sabrina Tabernisi, who is the New York Times national correspondent. It was great talking with you, Sabrina. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Cindy. It was great talking to you, too.